Wow, that's quite the welcome.
Oh, no, I'm trying to say hello in a nice way, you know?
Hang on a second. I was on this show like 2 weeks ago when the Canucks were here in the preseason, and you were nowhere to be found. Like, nowhere. You were dodging me. And I'm thinking, because you've got so many things going on in your life. I see it on Facebook. You've got the defenseman camp. You've got the trivia nights going. You're selling maternity clothes. You do it all.
I'm a busy guy. I would never say anything like this strong to your face. I like to do it from a distance, buddy. It's got to be safe.
It's Jeff Patterson from TSN 1040 joining us. Canucks in town. And, you know, the Canucks, I think similar to the Oilers, both fan bases believe, okay, you know what, there's been improvements. They improve. You know, obviously some of their improvement's going to come from their young guys just maturing. You know, Peterson being a little bit stronger this year. A lot of pundits think maybe he can be 90-plus points for them, which obviously would be huge for that team. So excluding him and Brock Besser, where else do you feel like, oh, I guess, what's been the biggest offseason acquisition? Is it obviously Tyler Myers?
He's the tallest. I don't know if he's the biggest. I mean, the contract certainly indicates that they have high hopes for him. He has skated exclusively with Alex Edler through training camp in the preseason, and that, I guess, is their shutdown pairing, which, you know, I'm not sold on. Edler's 33 now, coming off two really serious injuries last year. And I mean, he means a lot to the Canucks still, but I feel they overplay him and overuse him in all situations. They've got Quinn Hughes here now. I'm hoping that maybe, you know, he can develop quickly enough to take some of the special teams duties off Edler's hands, perhaps, because they're going to need Alex Edler. But look, Tyler Myers in Winnipeg, he was what he was. And when he was forced to play higher in the lineup, there were some issues defensively. And even though he's changed jerseys, I don't know that he's a changed man or a changed player. And I still think some of those concerns are valid here in Vancouver now. And so, you know, we'll see. But I think it's more how they've surrounded their top-end guys, because Bo Horvat had something like 27 different combinations of wingers in 82 games last year. He was the only Canuck to play all 82, and they just cycled wingers through, and he carried not just those wingers, but he carried the team for good stretches last year. Like, he had a really good season, was second on the team with 27 goals, and did it without the benefit of really legitimate NHL scoring wingers. So they go out, they make the trade for JT Miller. Nobody in Vancouver thinks it was a great idea to give up a conditional first-rounder, but JT Miller is a better player and a better winger than Bo Horvat had at any point last season. And, you know, he had a bit of a down year on a stacked Tampa team. They're hoping that given a role here in the top six and on the power play that, you know, he can be a 20 to 25 goal scorer. And then they went out later after July 1st, I think it was the 10th of July, and Michael Ferland was still on the market, and they signed him. And, you know, they're hoping that he's healthy, and if he is, I think people here in Edmonton remember him from Calgary, certainly, and the Canucks remember him from his days in Calgary. You know, the kind of player he can be, and there's some skill there as well. And so they're hoping that, you know, he can kind of ride shotgun with Elias Pettersson and Brock Besser and contribute some goals. And one thing the Canucks didn't do very well, I mean, there was a lot of, you don't have time for me to list the things the Canucks didn't do well last year, but one of the things was they didn't go to the net very well. They didn't score a lot of rebound goals. They didn't really hear about how goals are scored in tight in the NHL, and yet the Canucks scored a bunch of their goals from distance because guys didn't go to the net, and when they did, there weren't rebounds, there weren't second chances, there weren't a lot of deflections, those types of things. Both Miller and Ferland are expected to, you know, set up shop in front of the opposing net, and the hope is that they'll be able to contribute offensively, you know, from that range.
Quinn Hughes, you mentioned him a bit. How has he looked, and the expectations for him are what this year?
Through the roof, because it's Vancouver. look, they've never had a defenseman that profiles like he does. It has been 25 years since the Canucks have had a defenseman with more than 50 points. Christian Ehrhoff had 50 during the Cup run year, and Alex Edler had a 49-point season. I'm not suggesting that Quinn Hughes is going to be a 50-point guy this year. I think there were only 12 of them in the NHL last year from the defense position. But he profiles to be the kind of guy, as this team gets better and as he gets better, you know, that can deliver that kind of offense somewhere down the road. But the guy's skating is incredible. It is his strong suit. It's why he got drafted where he was drafted and didn't look out of place in those five games that he played late last season. And they weren't throwaway games. Like, I think four of them were against teams that went to the playoffs. The last couple of games, they were in Nashville, in St. Louis, but both of those teams had a shot at winning the Central Division. Like, there was a fair bit on the line, and he looked good. I mean, you know, 3 points in those five games. But the issue is, he's undersized, and he hasn't defended in the NHL other than a very small sample size. So, you know, I don't have much doubt. He's a confident guy. He's always been a driver of play wherever he has played in college and, you know, representing Team USA. But this is the big leagues. And, you know, we'll see how he defends, against the best players in the world. He's going to play with Chris Tanev. I think that's a nice spot for him. It's some good insulation there. Tanev can sort of mind the shop and, you know, mop up some messes that are ultimately going to happen. But the kid looks like he's a quick learner, and they don't want to put any sort of governor on him. They want him to be the Quinn Hughes that they drafted and a guy that transitions the puck well and skates it out of trouble and moves to the attack. And look, they're hoping that overhauling half of their defense, Myers, Quinn Hughes, and Jordy Benn, replacing like Branson and Delzato and Pouliot and Ben Hutton, they hope that they're spending less time in their own zone. And I think on paper you can make an argument that that will be the case, but then the other half of that argument is, okay, so they spend less time in their own zone. That part's good. You know, once they get to center and beyond, you know, what happens there? Because they were one of the lowest scoring teams in the NHL last season.
Jeff Patterson joins us. Markstrom had a pretty solid campaign last year, his final year of his contract. Do you feel that he's got to show them that, you know, last year he can continue to build on that, Jeff? And do you believe he can build on that, or is there still some concern about where he's at in his game?
I think there's valid questions. I don't know about concerns, but you're right. And I think people around the league maybe would find this hard to believe, but I know that in key goaltender statistics that Sports Logic, you know, tracks, like he rated in the top 5 and 6 among starting goaltenders in the NHL from December 1st on. Now, his first couple of months, he struggled. Alex Edler was out of the lineup, and then, you know, they ran into trouble. And so the team in front of him wasn't great early on, but from December 1st till the end of the season, Jacob Markstrom was terrific. Statistically, he was named the Canucks MVP in a year in which Elias Pettersson wins Rookie of the Year in the National Hockey League. The question, though, is he's 29 now. He turns 30 in January. How many goalies come into their own at this stage of their career? And was that four-month run a blip? Was it a flash? Or was it, you know, a new baseline for him? And you're right, it's a contract year. I'm curious to see. There aren't many guys on that Canuck team that are more competitive than Jacob Markstrom. I think at times that worked against him a couple of seasons ago. He took losses hard, and there were a lot of them. He seemed to have turned a page last year and sort of just a whole new mindset and seemed to work for him. So I'm curious to see. He had a decent preseason. He didn't play a lot. It's hard to gauge goaltenders in exhibition action anyhow. But he is their main guy. There's no doubt. I expect he'll get 50 to 55 starts if he stays healthy. And they didn't have backups that could deliver victories for him last year. Anders Nilsson couldn't do it. Richard Bachman got into a game. Remember, Michael DiPietro got thrust in there as a junior and was out of his depth. And Thatcher Demko had all sorts of injuries last year that he didn't get the call until late in the year. Demko's here as the backup now, and he'll probably get his 25 starts, but he's got to deliver some victories when he gets in there. It's not enough for Thatcher Demko just to get experience on the job and say, hey, I'm in the NHL now. If this team is going to get improvement, you know, Markstrom's got to deliver, but when Markstrom gets those nights off, they need some goaltending from Thatcher Demko as well.
Talking about the Canucks, who are in town to take on the Edmonton Oilers in their home opener, with Jeff Patterson, the TSN 1040 Canucks reporter. JP, when you look at Jake Virtanen, and, you know, there was a lot of discussion about him and the way he came to camp and whatever issues it was it out of condition, whatever. He's on the fourth line, it seems like, to start tonight. What is going on with Jake and his future with this group?
I got room service at my door that I didn't order. How about that?
Well, lucky guy.
Well, we'll let Jeff's deal with his room service that he didn't order. Fantastic.
But the munchies.
Virtanen is an interesting one. He is in the lineup tonight, of course. So you look at it. Hey, when you don't come to camp in the ship, you're supposed to be starting.
We're good now.
You're irritated about it, and rightfully so, because it's the only thing a player can ultimately control. Right. And I wonder, hopefully he learns from it, Jeff, but clearly the coach sent a message early with Virtanen. And is Virtanen's issue more just he's just got to mature?
Yeah, I got a fruit basket. This is exciting. This doesn't happen to me very often.
Nice.
I love Edmonton. Virtanen is a curious case. There's no doubt about it, and you're right. The first day of training camp, he's skating with the AHL guys. They had two main groups, and then there was a third group, and Jake Virtanen found himself in that third group, and it was because the Canucks had laid out some sort of standards that apparently he came close to meeting but didn't meet. I don't know if it was conditioning or weight or whatever the case, but he found himself out with the AHL group on that first day. Now, in the first preseason game, he scored twice in Calgary, including the overtime winner, and it looked like he was back in the good books, but the rest of his preseason was kind of the way his career has gone. There just wasn't anything to it, and so he's been frustrating. There's no doubt. I mean, the sixth overall pick, I think people in Vancouver have kind of got past the fact that he's never going to be the guy that they hoped they were getting with that sixth overall pick that dominated the Western Hockey League, you know, especially in the draft that had Nick Ehlers and Dylan Larkin and other guys so far passed him by already in the NHL. You know, in straight lines, he's an elite skater. His speed, I'm talking to an Edmonton audience, you guys know about speed here, but he's not at McDavid's level, obviously, but in straight lines, he really is a weapon. But he's been at this a while now, and he hasn't learned how to harness it. He doesn't use it effectively to, you know, cut in on defensemen and drive the net and get defensemen to put a stick on him and take a penalty or, you know, to drive wide to create space for his teammates. He doesn't seem to process the game at the NHL level the way that you would hope that he would. And, you know, a lot of times guys go high in the draft. They've got a great hockey IQ. I think that's kind of been the knock on Jake throughout his time in Vancouver, is just the way that he looks at the game and processes it while he's out there on the ice. And, at this stage, I don't know that it's going to get a whole lot better. You know, and I say all of that, and he had 15 goals last year, which is nothing to sneeze at, but I think 11 of them came before Christmas, and then the back half of his season was like a lot of guys on this roster that, you know, they just went silent, and that was part of the reason that the Canucks best won a playoff spot the first game out of the All-Star break last year in February, and then the bottom fell out, and it was because there was just no offense from so many guys across the board. So, so many warnings have been given, so many shots across the bow. Travis Green kept talking in preseason about guys like Adam Gaudette, you know, trying hard to make this team, and he hoped that others would take notice. And, you know, those were words that were aimed directly at guys like Jake Virtanen and a few others. And I don't know. He's going to be on the fourth line tonight. I don't know how much he's going to play. They don't see him as necessarily a shutdown guy. I don't know what – I think all these years later, they're still trying to figure out, you know, what he is and what he can be at the National Hockey League level. But ultimately, it comes back to him. He's got to figure it out. They spent a lot of time, invested a fair bit in this guy. And I'm just not sure at this stage that he's going to be a whole lot more than he is.
Yeah, it's an interesting, because he's such a high pick, and you want more out of him, but it doesn't quite come together. Now it looks like the third line was Sutter, Vino. What am I thinking of? And then Erickson is kind of that veteran, dependable line. Is it that, or is he just Travis? Can you just put that line together?
Well, Tyler Motte came down with a mysterious illness or injury on the eve of the season. He would be on the fourth line, and Virtanen would have been up the line with Sutter and Lebo. Lou Eriksson and a $6 million contract. He's got 3 years left there. The albatross that is his deal. And, you know, we talk about guys that are never going to amount to what they're paying him. There were a lot of people that thought the Canucks were going to spend the summer figuring out an exit strategy for Louis Erickson, and yet here he is on opening night. He's on the third line. So, he's kind of being squeezed in there because of the injury to Mott. It looked the other day like he was going to be one of the extra forwards. There are zero expectations in Vancouver. You know, despite the salary, like, there are zero expectations at this stage for a guy. Everybody in Vancouver has seen him for 3 years now. It just hasn't worked out for Louis Erickson. And, I'm watching tonight. I'm going to be really curious. Does Travis Green, probably more than most coaches around the NHL, loves his hard matchups. Even on the road, he tries to get his matchups as much as he can. I'm looking down the middle to see how much Sutter and Beagle play compared to Horvat and Pettersson, because there were nights last year when Sutter and Beagle logged more even strength ice time than Horvat and Pettersson. That cannot happen. Can't happen very often for the Vancouver Canucks if they're going to have success here in the National Hockey League.
Jeff, good stuff, man. Enjoy your bouquet, and we will see you at the rink tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to go sort through the basket here. Always fun, guys. So we'll see you at the rink.